Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assemble!
Live from the IHOP in Highlands Ranch, 9565 South University Boulevard, where we are broadcasting live. Come on out and hang out with us as we kick off the Denver front page. So Cecil Lammy writing at DenverFan.com about how Nathaniel Hackett is a good person, but he's a bad head coach. And there is just this growing sentiment that he is coaching for his job on Sunday. First of all, let's start right there. Is he?
If
they go out and lose again like they have lost games this season, and you know, look, I love Broncos country. I love the fact that you are letting your feelings be known. I think it is awesome. Don't stop. And because of that, that's going to be a bloodthirsty crowd showing up on those that show up, by the way. I think they're going to be a healthy number of no-shows as we get ready to kick off Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
That said, those that are going to be there will not be patient, and they will be quick and ready to turn on this football team and turn on Nathaniel Hackett. So, is he coaching for his job on Sunday?
Yeah. I don't listen. If you lose another game, 13-12. Mm-hmm. If you lose another game,
bunch of three and outs.
Yeah,
penalties, false starts.
Yeah. If you lose that way, and you don't hang in the 20s on somebody, I think that there's going to be changes. And I'm not talking about, hey, you're not going to call the plays anymore. Like, I'm not talking about those kinds. I'm talking about there are going to be some wholesale changes. And that's unfortunate. But this whole season's been unfortunate. And you've been gifted through the organization a quarterback who, before this year, if his career had ended, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, right now, this season has opened up question marks. And think about it. Before the season, he's going to the Hall of Fame. After this season, if his season were to end, like if his career were to end after this season, I think this season would deter voters from voting him in.
Oh, yeah, no, he's on the outside looking in after this season.
Right.
The way it's going. Oh, no, absolutely.
I mean,
100%.
And perception becomes reality. The perception is that now it's that, wow, I guess Pete Carroll knew what he was doing. I guess it wasn't Russell. It was Pete. It was Pete's, demonstrative, we're doing it my way, I don't care. Hey, great, thanks for this game plan. Wad it up and throw it in the trash can, right? And it wasn't a game plan. He's not game planning. He's giving a scouting report. There's a big difference that the drive was talking about, hey, that game plan versus our game plan. He's giving his scouting report of what certain players are, what he sees in third downs, and all those different things. To me, two different things. But anyhow, that's kind of where I sit right there.
Here's the thing about Everell, and I'm intrigued by him. You know why I'm intrigued by him? Because I don't care if he's a defensive guy. And I am finding it a bit amusing that here we are less than a year after the coaching search began, and all the James Marilats and all the folks at DenverFan.com, the Will Petersons, the D-Max, no, we don't want a defensive guy.
Right.
We need an offensive guy. We need a young, fresh, innovative. We need the Oda McVay that's the way you got to go in today's NFL. Now you're telling me you're okay with a defensive guy. Right?
Right.
Do you notice the hypocrisy there? What switched? What changed?
Well, this offense stinks. So now we need dynamic personality. Now we need, you know, listen, what you need is somebody who can lead a franchise. You need an NFL CEO. You need somebody who can delegate authority and, more importantly, can hold people accountable when they're not doing their job. They can hold an offensive line coach accountable. They can hold play callers accountable. They can hold the wide receiver coach accountable when guys don't throw blocks. Who can hold his players accountable when guys keep jumping off sides. He can hold people accountable within the organization.
Next on the front page. All right, along those lines, Will Peterson writes at DenverFan.com about how the Broncos should take notes on Jeff Saturday and a gutsy coaching change. Again, Will, really? You were one of those guys. I love you, but you were one of those guys. Nope. Want an offensive guy. Got to have an X's and O's guy. Everybody around the NFL is watching this Jeff Saturday experiment.
Yeah.
Because you know darn well this is a copycat league. And if Saturday has success, you're going to see a lot more of this. And poor Bill Cowher is going to just blow his top because there are going to be more Jeff Saturdays and more disgraces to the coaching profession.
Listen, I respect the thought process of Bill Cowher.
Well, he came across a brat.
Bitter. Yeah.
A bitter brat.
But I respect the fact of the coaching profession and yada, 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 yada. Man, I get all that. But you know what it really boils down to?
Uh-huh.
Every business does.
Yeah.
Every business boils down to relationship business.
Yes.
Every business does. And how do you, to be a great leader of people, if you don't care more about the people you lead than you care about yourself, you know what? You're a crappy leader.
Yes.
And if you can't put others ahead of yourself, you will never inspire. You won't. And so for Jeff Saturday, listen, man, that guy has forgotten more about the nuance of playing football than any NFL coach that's coaching right now that never played, right? I mean, that guy is a 6-time Pro Bowler. He is a salt of the earth man. He's a great man, and he is a student of the game. Now, he may not know how to devise a game plan just because he's never done it before, but Jeff is smart, and he knows what he wants. Like, I mean... First case in point, I was so happy. First case in point, and this is where you know he's got authority. I bet you Chris Ballard, their general manager right now, has got a little pucker factor going on. Because he walked in there and goes, I don't care if we owe Matt Ryan money. You know what? Our players will respect us as an organization a hell of a lot more if we're not playing on the fact that we owe him a bunch of money that we don't want to pay him. So he's playing for me. Because it wasn't him. He's not washed. It was we don't do things the right way. And guess what? Matt Ryan played really well. They ran the ball for over 200 yards. Their offensive line, all of a sudden, based on the way they called plays, didn't look anemic. I mean, there's a lot of things.
So if Jeff Saturday succeeds, is this just a statement? Is this just proof that, look, when it comes to your head coach, mastery of X's and O's isn't that big of a deal.
No. Yeah, of course it's not.
Okay, then I hope the folks around our station particularly, who are all adamant that you got to have a whiz kid offensive mastermind with all kinds of X's and O's and schemes and a big, thick playbook needs to be our next head coach. I hope those people are listening because I tried to tell you that a year ago. Go get yourself a guy who is a football CEO. Who will build a culture.
You and
I. Who can sit back and say, and he'll just be on the headset, so he'll just be kind of watching. He'll be watching his offensive coordinator call plays, and he'll just kind of walk up to the OC and go, hey, we're constantly in 3rd and 9, and we have an offensive line that basically is playing 2nd and 3rd stringers across the board. Why are we throwing the ball 42 times, dummy?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Right.
Why is that so hard?
Look at what Washington did to Philly last night. They ran the ball. They were only getting 3 yards a carry. They ran the ball over 40 times.
Run the ball!
You know what that does for your defense? There's a reason that defense played the way it played. there's a reason that the Philadelphia Eagles were dead last in turnovers. They were the best team in National Football League, the best turnover differential in the National Football League. They turned over offensively, what, three times? That defense was fresh. That defense was coming after. Like, they were attacking. Why? Because they weren't on the field. Washington was. Washington dominated it. Like, there's a reason that you do. And I know that it's not fun. I know that it's not Patrick Mahomes. And I know that, you know, that dude's a unicorn. You don't have him. The Kansas City has him. They're the only ones that have him. And so,
I'm here.
You know.
Yes, we know.
Forget trying to win. Yeah, I get it. Patrick, shut up.
Look, you own us, okay, man?
Enough. I get it. Okay. I know that you're here.
I'm here.
Yes, I get it.
I'm here.
I know.
I'm here.
That never gets old.
You know what?
That never gets old.
I'm telling you what, he's an annoying little turd.
He is a little turd, but God,
I'm here.
He is great. Okay. He's, man. Anyhow.
I'm rooting so hard for Jeff Saturday.
I am too.
Really am. One, just so I can see Bill Cowher continue to just fume.
By the way,
that
listen.
That shin will just get more and more jutty.
The Commanders. Brian Robinson, 26 carries, 86 yards, 3.3 yards a carry. Antonio Gibson, 14 carries, 44 yards, 3.1 yard a carry. Samuel, 4 carries, 12 yards, 3 yards a carry. Guess what? I ran at 40.
Well, okay, hold on there. Before you think that you and I are now all of a sudden kumbaya on Lars, I still want the ball in the air. Ultimately, I still want the ball in the air.
Oh, that's great. But you don't care about winning?
But if you can't do that right now, which they can't, then you gotta listen to Richard Sherman. But
sure they can. They still threw it 29 times. They've got McLaurin. Who's a great player. They got Samuel, who's a really good player. They've got Johan Dotson, who's a great wide receiver. Guess what? There's a formula for them right now, right? Just like there should be a formula for us right now. And it's not Russ sitting in shotgun running deep route combinations and nobody getting open.
Yeah, but they have to do that because Taylor Heineke's their quarterback. Do you think Ron Rivera's running the ball 45 times and throwing it 29 if he's got Mahomes is his quarterback, or Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback, or Josh Allen, or anybody like that? No, of course not. Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about what's good for winning. What's good for coaching.
Isn't coaching important?
Shouldn't you coach
to what you have.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And so the Broncos do, because of the issues they're dealing with right now, they should run the ball more. Yes. But if it was a better situation, then I could easily argue that they should be throwing the football more.
My aunt had balls. She'd be my uncle. But, you know, I mean you want to play that game. Why are short shorts so short? I mean, why are bushes bushy, Mike? I don't know. I guess it comes in the name. Come on. What was it? Soft and fluffy, or what?
Thick and fluffy?
No, thick and fluffy. Come on, thick and fluffy, dude.
These are delicious, though.
Ooh, oh goodness man. Gracious!
Oh my God! I'm not normally a French toast guy, but geez, these thick and fluffy French toast.
I mean, these French had one thing they did right.
They did French toast
making
right.
Toast.
Yes, toast. That's right. And fries.
The French knows their toast and they know their fries. I'll give them that.
No, I know. We know. Don't before we start getting. Yes, we know French fries are an American creation. So, there you go.
They are.
Yes.
Wouldn't they change that?
Oh God. When did they change that? They always was that.
Well, why do they call them French then?
I don't know.
Why do they call them American fries?
I don't know.
American fries.
I'll look that up at some point.
This is why I don't know anything. Is this exactly?
Faber, tell me you got that.
This is exactly why.
Tell me you got that.
I don't know anything because the way we spell things and the create things.
This is why.
Like
one more here.
So next thing you're going to tell me is French dressing is from America.
Everything great. Everything that's great comes from America.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
At DenverFan.com, Coach Carl. George Carl with a column.
Really?
First of all, we'll get to his column in a second. He continues to be
outspoken about Nathaniel Hackett needing to go.
Mm.
Then he called Russ yesterday. Russ sent out a tweet congratulating Jalen Virgil. Now, it was just congratulating Jalen Virgil on his first
touchdown.
NFL catch and touchdown.
Right.
George responded kind of admonishing Russ by saying, hey, Russ, focus on winning right now. Your focus needs to be on winning. Not even pumping up another teammate. Your focus needs to be on winning. Short and sweet. He also said after the game on Sunday, he goes, he doubled down. He said, I've seen enough. Time to go. Got to make a decision. Hackett needs to go. And when coaches...
That's coach on coach crime.
Yes, and you don't see that kind
Not
of
normally.
Stuff.
Because
you're part of a fraternity, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. You very rarely see coaches call out coaches. And, man, when George Karl's a Hall of Famer. He's got a leg to stand on here. So when he's saying that, when he notices all the signs, you got to listen to it. Anyway, in his article, he talks about Michael Malone. And he says that he is interested in watching. He's writing about how Michael Malone is handling Michael Porter Jr. and how some folks are frustrated that Michael Porter won't be on the floor at the end of games because Malone still determines that he's a defensive liability, although he went to great lengths to come out and praise MPJ for his defense the other day. But he congratulates and applauds and confirms that Malone is handling Michael Porter Jr. the right way.
I agree with that. Like, I've told you this many times. You shouldn't get the opportunity to put stats up and catch the football and get touchdowns if you're not willing to do the dirty stuff. If you're not willing to participate in the run game, the block game, if you're not willing to, you know, to hit people and block people on the bubble screen game, then you shouldn't get the opportunity to, you know, to make the catches. I believe in sacrificing, and I believe that's how great teams are made. And if you're not willing to do it, then you don't get those opportunities. I don't have any issue at all with
that. If you've been following the Nuggets lately, Bruce Brown's been getting more minutes. And Carl writes, quote, he is already the emergency starter and arguably one of the best defenders on the team. When he gets minutes in crucial moments over a player like MPJ's caliber, that subliminally says to guys like MPJ or even a first-round pick like Christian Brown that a guy like Bruce Brown is just as good and just as meaningful to the team's success.
Now you just hope that the players understand the message being sent
instead of powder bomb.
Based on play time.
Right.
Right? When you get usurped playing time wise by somebody else who may not be the highest paid guy or may not have the same accolades or preseason hype that you have, there's a reason. It's because that guy does the dirty work better than you. And hopefully that's a message that you understand.
And if you saw and heard Michael Malone after the game the other night, the win over the Bulls, he went to great lengths to come out and really praise MPJ.
Absolutely.
With the idea like, hey, you got the message.
Yeah.
You noticed. And you didn't pout about it. Instead, you went out and played better defense. And I recognize it. I applaud you for it. And I let everybody know about it. That is what's going on at DenverFan.com, the Denver Fan front page.
Ho, 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 Denver!
Okay, I'm so happy this is back. You just heard the jingle. Be the fourth caller right now to win a $50 gift card to Cherry Creek Shopping Center and be qualified for the grand prize of a $1,000 shopping spree thanks to Santa's little helpers, Stokely and Zach. Good luck. Caller 4. 303-713-1043. Come on. Don't you want to make a Stokely elf joke? Come on.
No, it didn't even cross my mind.
Well, here you go. Do something with it.
Yeah, well, it's not me. You couldn't you see Stokely in the Baby Bjorn with Peyton Manning being dressed as Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Santa's little elf helper in that Baby Bjorn right there, just little leggies dangling. With those little socky kind of shoes with bells on the toes.
And they
point up at the end.
See?
So you can imagine.
Yes, I can.
Right.
Peyton sitting on the chair being Santa Claus, and there's his little elf sitting right next to him.
And Santa going, ho, 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 go get me another cup of hot cocoa, Stokely.
See? Was that so hard?
Yeah.
Stokely
going, well, golly, Santa Claus, I can't wait to get you another cup of hot cocoa. Can I have a cup of hot cocoa with you? Because we're best friends. Hi, I'm Brandon Stokely.
Yeah, I can see that. Yes, you can. See, that's all I was asking for. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Tell the Straighter Tuesday. And bring people back up to speed. We got a whole different crowd listening. 8 o'clock texters waking up, looking outside, going, ooh, looks scary out there. I think I'll go back to bed.
Right, right. And they're like, ooh. Speaking of hot cocoa, Mom! Cocoa! Now!
Tell Straighter Tuesday. It takes on added significance and added interest for all of us this week because you're calling the Broncos and Raiders on Sunday for Fox. And because we continue to see it. It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Every single week, the offense continues to struggle, and it's the same old thing with nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And every week, we're pulling our hair out going, what is the problem? What is happening? What needs to be fixed? You have looked at it, and you have determined the main culprit. The main culprit. Everyone shares a little bit of blame, but the main culprit is who or what?
Well, the main culprit is coaching, lack of identity, lack of established identity, lack of an offensive structure. And again, like you'll see when you study a bunch of film, like I study a bunch of film, you'll see coordinators that will fish for information. You know, they'll say, okay, let me see where we're at right here. I'm going to get into this formation, like whatever that, in this personnel group. So let me get into a two tights personnel group, and let me see, one, how you guys play against the two tights, right? And then let me get into two tights solo, one tight end on each side. But now let me get into two tights west or east. So two tight ends on one side, you know? And let me see how you adjust, how you shift, and let me see if we can attack that. Oh, you're going to bring... You know, let me get into two tight slot. Oh, you're running corners over? Okay, great. Now that we're in two tight slot and you're running corners over, we know that you're in man-to-man coverage. Now can we get one of our tight ends, Dulcich, on your safety? Can we exploit that matchup? How do we do these? Like, you see them shift. I just don't – or you see them – to the fish for information. You see them go through these things, and then you see them stack concepts. So I play this scheme, right? I'm a wide zone team, or I'm a tight mid zone team. And what are my adjunct play actions after that? What are my different run game after? Like all that kind of stuff to take pressure off, especially when you're playing with a defensive or offensive front, that is lacking. Right? They're just lacking, right? They've got a third-team offensive tackle. You've got, really, a young player who started a handful of games last year at the right guard position. You're onto your third-team center right now. Your left side is your backup left tackle. Like there's one real full-time starter in there in Dalton Risner. That's the only real full-time starter you have. And yet, throwing it 42 times, a majority of that out of shotgun, not using your play action boot game, and I think you threw two boot keep plays. One of them went for 14 yards on a second down and 15. It's a really nice design, quick. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just see a team that feels like, to me, they just call plays. Here's your favorite, Russ. This is my favorite. We're going to divvy it up because we're both trying to figure each other out, as opposed to saying, this is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to attack this team. And I'm sure they're saying that, but it doesn't look like that.
Then I want to ask you this question. Based on what you see when you look at what the Broncos are doing on offense, and you can't find any rhyme or reason to what they're doing, I want to ask you, if Nathaniel Hackett, is Nathaniel Hackett doing what he wants to do on offense? And if he did do totally what he wanted to do, what would it look like, and how would it be different? And how would you convince Russ to do it? All that, Tell Us Straighter Tuesday, coming up next.
You're going to need a bigger push.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What is this that you're so You're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
It is a Telestrator Tuesday as we are live out here at the IHOP, the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. You can come on by and join us, 9565 South University Boulevard in Highlands Ranch, where with any purchase of $10.43 or more, get it, $10.43, you get a free order of their all-new thick and fluffy French toast, which is not only delicious, but it's also my new nickname.
Yes, thick and fluffy.
God, I hope Mrs. S is listening.
She knows.
So she knows.
She knows you're thick and fluffy.
She knows. But lovably so.
Yeah, you're like a big teddy bear. Look
big
at
teddy
you.
Bear, thick and fluffy. Telestrator Tuesday. You love to dive into the film. Nobody dives into the film anywhere in Denver more than you do. You get the coach's tape, and you've been pretty definitive all morning long in saying that if you want to really pin the blame on what we're seeing offensively, the crap we're seeing every week, it comes down to coaching. One texter says, oh, great, we could just fire Hackett and all will be fixed because it wasn't on Wilson at all, even though he's the $250 million man.
No, Wilson's not playing very well. But, all right, so let me just say this. You know, what you've designed, like, is Wilson missing things? Absolutely. Is Wilson been inaccurate on the deep ball? Absolutely. All those things are true, Mike. All those things are true. Are you under duress a lot? Yeah. You know, I always complain about him escaping out the back end of the pocket, which was a part of the issues he had in Seattle. That's like nothing good's going to happen out there for the most part. He still has that issue. But when bodies are flailing inside, you know, I mean, sometimes it makes it impossible to step up in the pocket. And not that that's ever been his strong suit, because I think as you step up in the pocket as a shorter quarterback, you lose vision. So that's a double-edged sword. So you better be better. You better be better. Yeah, that makes sense.
You bet.
You bet. That's you, the who. You better, you better, you bet. Yeah, I like it. When I say I love you, say you better. You better, you better, you better. Anyhow, they've got to be better across the front so that he can step up. But the bottom line is there needs to be an answer designed in every play. Meaning, you can't run a bunch of verticals and that defense taking those verticals away and not having an easy answer. One thing that I marvel about, I just marvel about this in regards to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has played for 20-whatever years, and he never, ever gets bored taking the first read in the progression. If the first read is the flat and the flat's open, he takes it. Here you go. Now we're in second down and four. Whereas there are plenty of times where there is that design in this offense and you bypass it because you want something better.
Well, then why is that Hackett's fault?
That part is not Hackett's fault. I told you when we broke it down, I gave 30% to Hackett, 30% to Russ, and the rest of the 40% divvied up between O-line breakdown issues and receivers.
But see, here's why I would make that number more like a 35% Hackett, 25% Russ, or 40%, because you've already said that you have a problem with the lack of identity and a lot of the play design.
Sure.
Okay? Add to that, you're the coach, man. You have got to, in no uncertain terms, convince, cajole, order, demand that Russell Wilson.
Okay, let me ask you.
Make those throws.
And so.
That's your job.
When we started this exercise today, I put, like, I'm telling you what the film says, what it tells me, but I told you I put the onus on coaching. Did I not?
Yes.
So that's where I put the heavy emphasis on coaching.
Sure.
So, have you been empowered? As a coach, have you been empowered?
Have you been appointed or have you been empowered?
I think you've been appointed.
I do too.
You've been tasked with the responsibility, not of coaching Russell Wilson, but of working with Russell Wilson.
Right. And you are...
That doesn't work.
No, you're in the midst of trying to figure out what, you know, like, hey, let's make everybody happy. Well, in trying to make everybody happy, you know what's happened? Nobody's happy. You try to make everybody... Like, life is not fair. Life is not a 50-50 split. Life is not like we're not going to... Everybody's going to walk away and be excited. They're not. Hey, you made the choice on defense. Nobody was happy that Bradley Chubb got moved. But you know what it did? It opened you up to ultimately to let other guys play. What did we learn? Well, we learned that Draymond Jones can play outside edge defender and stand up outside linebacker and do it pretty damn well. We learned that Jonathan Cooper can really hold the point. We learned that in a rotation, Benito can be a guy that really helps you out. We learned that a guy that couldn't get on the field very much for the Jets is a very viable off-the-bench guy in Martin. And you don't even have Randy Gregory, and you don't have Brown. So how much better will you be when they come back? Like, we learned some things, right? So I put it on the coaching staff, but I don't know that the coaching staff has been empowered. At some point, you've got to say, hey, listen, this is no longer about what you like. I actually don't give a crap what you like.
Okay. I like it. Keep going.
All right. Number three, this ain't about you. It's about us. And this is about what we can do. So I don't care that you like this, and I don't care that you like that, and I don't care that you want to be a pocket guy, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It takes me back to my playing days, sitting in a meeting when Brian Habib and his wife Shannon had another baby. And we walk in, and Brian had been up all night, and Alex Gibbs goes, "You tired? You okay?" And Brian's like, "Yeah, you know," and he interrupted him, right? Like, he's like, "Are you okay, man? Like, are you tired of you?" And Brian was like, "Yeah, you know," he was trying to explain that, you know, I was up with the baby, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." He interrupted him, goes, "Up all night with a crying baby? I don't give a bleep. We are here to work. And you being tired has no bearing on today. So you better get your S together.
Mm-hmm.
And get ready to roll."
Like, that's what you delivered.
Right. I don't care if we're not doing what you like. I don't.
What do you got to lose?
I don't.
If I'm Hackett, this is why, at this point, if you're Nathaniel Hackett, what do I got to lose? I might be fired this week.
Yeah.
I might be fired this week. I might as well go down trying to adhere to my principles. My integrity,
yeah.
What I believe in. And you know what? Here's what I would tell Russell Wilson. Russ, here's where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. Not only have you played yourself out of the Hall of Fame, you're now a borderline, or you're outside looking into the Hall of Fame. Secondly, if you are cut today with the contract you have, anybody who picked you up would be picking you up as a bridge quarterback.
We could
seriously. Listen. He would be a bridge guy. He'd be keeping the seat warm until the guy that was drafted, the ballyhooed first round pick, was ready. That's where Russ's stock has sunk to now.
We couldn't trade you for a case of Gatorade right now.
Nope.
Seriously. Think about what you would get for Russ right now. Think about it.
And you know what? Don't even include the contract. Don't even include the contract.
Could you get a second rounder?
For Russell Wilson right now, not even counting the contract, he's got this year and 1 year left on his contract. What would you get for him? You wouldn't get a second round. Maybe a second round pick. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
But you would probably have
maybe.
You'd probably have to do a song and dance and have, like, you'd be like
You'd be like, this is an old reference, but you'd be like Dick Van Dyke and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh,
the old bamboo, better never bother with the old bamboo. Can we get a second round of four or rest? Ha! No, you can't.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. Just, we did the old bamboo.
Just, we just, what was it? The old bamboo?
The old bamboo.
The old bamboo.
Just, better never bother with the old bamboo.
You don't remember the scene?
No.
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 Just go to break.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
You know, it's funny, we get a lot of texts from people saying, hey, Mark Schlereth should be our Jeff Saturday. Hey, no less. No. I'm watching this Jeff Saturday thing with a lot of interest because, first of all, I've always thought NFL coaches, head coaches, take themselves way too seriously. And go to just huge lengths to try to convince us all how hard their job is.
Right.
And how complex it is. And then I see a guy like Jeff Saturday roll in and just sort of have kind of a sit back, common sense approach to how this whole thing works, and it makes sense. So I'm rooting for him. And the idea of you going over to Dove Valley and doing exactly what Jeff Saturday's doing for the Colts, for the Broncos, honest to God, is not that far-fetched to me. So let's play the game. Let's play the game. If all of a sudden you were put in charge just Saturday, like of the Denver Broncos, what would be the first three or four things you'd do?
Well, the first thing I would do is establish who my play caller is and what I want the offense to look like. Here's what I want this offense to look like.
Which would look like what?
Well, we're gonna base ourselves out of the run game. We're gonna base ourselves out of the zone game. And so I want to be able to run that through personnel groupings, through formations, through motions. I want the defense to have to communicate on every play. So I want a shift and I want a motion. But what I want to be able to do is run the same thing over and over and over again so we can become experts at it. And once we become experts at it, then what I want to do is to be able to create adjunct run plays off of that. And I want to be able to create run action pass plays off of that so that everything looks the same. So that we can maximize our ability to create big plays in the passing game based off of making defenses defend something. It's like the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's this offense.
Okay, good. Good first step. Second step, Mark Schlereth, head coach of the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson is bypassing open receivers underneath to try to get big plays down the field, and he's taking sacks. What's your message to him going to be?
My message to him is would be, Russ, you'll not survive that way, and you need to earn the right to play like Drew Brees. And then I would just let the film speak. Let's put it on. Let's watch it together. And you would get a very honest assessment of where you stand as a player. That's it.
What would you tell him specifically? This is how you're going to play.
Well, I would tell him that we are going to base out of the run game, that we're going to limit him from the drop back game and the shotgun game, and we're going to take advantage of his athleticism and what we do well, what we know we're going to establish, and then we'll get him opportunities outside the pocket for easy throws. We'll get him some opportunities inside the pocket for easy throws, and we'll take a lot of the burden off of him at the line of scrimmage. The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to run it plays. So, meaning there are going to be enough plays within the construct of our offense to where I'm going to take that burden off of you from having to manage everything. So,
and he says, yeah, but Mark, I want to cook.
Yeah.
I want to throw the ball down the field. I want to run around. Yeah. I want to make plays.
Right. Well, every time you cook, you know what? We get burnt food back. That's what we get. And so, like I've said many times before, you can cook a great meal in a crock pot by putting it all in there, Swedish meatballs, and letting it simmer for 8 hours. You're going to simmer. You're not cooking. Because you know what? You don't have the capability of cooking right now.
All right, Coach Larith, first half of your first game, the Broncos have 7 penalties. Couple of false starts from the offensive line. We got a guy that gets called for a taunting call after making a tackle. Penalties. Undisciplined penalties. What are you going to do about it?
Well, one, there'll be consequences.
Which are?
Now, the consequences are if you make stupid plays, you don't get to play. Those are the real-life consequences. If you can't show up on a special teams play, guess what? You don't get to play. I don't care if you're a core player. I really don't. I have other guys that have a hunger and a desire to play, and they'll get to play. Here's the thing about offsides, penalties, and things of that nature. Because I already told you we're going to run some tank plays, we call them, for the quarterbacks, we call them breather plays. A lot of offensive coaches that I talk to around the league call it a breather play. I want to take this off your plate. I don't want you to have to think on this play. I just want you to hand the ball off, right? I just want you to be like, this is one of our standard day one installation plays. It's a tank play. It's a call and run it play. It's however you want to designate it. It's a breather play. I'm not asking you to read a defense here, right? When we run the boot camp game, I'm not asking you to read the defense. People always wonder, hey man, when we get this guy outside the pocket, he's amazing. Like he's like really accurate. You know why? Because you're not reading anything. When you boot outside the pocket and you eliminate half the field, you got a guy in the flat, you got a guy running deep, and you got a guy coming from the opposite side. You're running a flood concept, and it's just eyeballs. You're becoming an ultimate sight thrower. Hey, there's the guy that's open. I'll throw him the ball. You're not reading the defense. You're not going, were they in a cover two or cover, or were they in quarters coverage, or is this cover six, or this cover three, or cover one? Like, what are they in? No, you're going, okay, who's open? Oh, that's the guy that's open. I'll throw it to him. Like, that becomes very simple.
So basically, you're just saying, hey, I'm just going to be a common sense.
Small up, simple down. This is where we're going to run it. And the other thing is, it doesn't take a genius to say, hey, on this drive, let's get back to balance on this drive. And the bottom line is,
so you come out and say, hey, I'm going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. And you run the ball, a couple series, no results, a couple of three and outs, kicks, and all of a sudden, all those Bronco fans, even though they love you, Mark Schlereth, they're booing because they hate this boring offense.
Yeah, listen, I don't really care. Because ultimately, we're going to win the physical battle. And you know what those runs are going to become at some point? Very much like they were for Jeff Saturday? A breakout 60-yard touchdown. That happens. The other thing is, we'll have those passing yards. We'll have that boot keep game going. We'll have that waggle front side going. We'll get that stuff rolling. I mean, it really is. You know, I always tell you the juxtaposition between simplicity and complexity is real. And you got to simple it down. When you're struggling, here's the other thing about the offsides and those penalties, Mike. When you're always in shotgun and you always have, you know, the quote-unquote perfect play, and I hate this about just offense in general. We want to be perfect on everything, right? We want to eliminate every potential disaster. You can't. And when you do that, and I'm just talking from my perspective, when you try to do that, you know what happens to you? You become passive. You sit on your haunches and you wait for what potentially could get called. And you take snap count as a weapon out of your arsenal. And let's face it, this arsenal right now, not very good. You know, you're rolling in to battle with a spitwad shooter, right, and a couple of rubber bands, like, and you're taking the spitwad shooter out of your arsenal right now. Like, you're not going with a real strong arsenal of offensive weapons. So, these are the things, and this doesn't take. I don't have to have ever game planned one time.
Just common sense. Just a common sense, simple it down approach.
But I've been in enough of those games. And I've been in enough of those situations to know
what works. And I also know, Mike, your biggest issue right now, the biggest issue you have as an offense is what? What's like, what's the biggest issue you have as an offense?
Can't score points.
Well, your biggest...
That's the only one I care about.
Okay. Your biggest issue as an offense is you're playing with a third-team offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And essentially a rookie right guard who is raw at best because he's a Division III player, a third-team offensive center, a left guard who has got his own issues, and a second-team left tackle. Your first order of business is not appeasing Russ Wilson. Your first order of business is mitigating the potential disaster that is that group up front.
My last question, if you became the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, Jeff Saturday style, would you be a regular contributor to the fan morning show with Mike Evans and a partner to be seen later?
Let's play a quick game. You pretend you're calling me right now. Yeah. Now I've been named the head coach. Okay.
All right, here we go. Okay. Yeah. Hey, Mark, congratulations on getting the job. This is going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get your insight and what you have planned. Hey, can we get you on tomorrow?
Who is this, and how did you get my number?
What?
Yes, I can absolutely imagine that's the way it would be.
You know 100% that's what I do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you hot snot. Yeah. Again, we've been having a great time out here today. The Fans Breakfast Club, Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club, here at the IHOP in Highlands Ranch, 9565 South University Boulevard. I want to thank Bobby and everybody here, the great staff. Yeah. Every time we go to a different IHOP, it's awesome service, awesome people, awesome environment. And even though we're going to be done here, you can still stop by any of the, either this one or any other IHOPs and take advantage of this all-new thick and fluffy French toast. Just with the purchase of $10.43 or more, you get the all-new thick and fluffy French toast, which we sampled again today. Just absolutely delicious. You get a free order of that. And also make sure you open up your free account at ihop.com/rewards or by downloading the IHOP app. You can earn pan coins that you can use and use for free food, Xbox, games, all that kind of really cool stuff. So, again, get signed up at ihop.com/rewards or by downloading the IHOP app. That'll do it for us. We'll see you again tomorrow morning at 6. Turn it back over to the Players Club next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.